Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. So you guys ever seen those awkward family photos? First one I ever seen was this kid. He's holding like a clarinet and he's in like his band uniform. And he's like, and then they had like the side profile of him and it was totally creepy. So I pulled up a few awkward family photos here for you guys. This one just, it wouldn't be too terribly awkward except for that ventriloquist there. And then the girl on the right with that hair. That is something. I believe pictures say a lot about a given situation. So this is an example of an awkward family photo. Here's another one. Okay, I'm wondering, is anybody here, is this your family? Because I would really want their autograph if that is, because those mullets are amazing. They're amazing. They truly are. Truly are. And this one, this girl is not a dog whisperer. You can tell a lot about pictures. Apparently, she likes dogs, but they don't like her a whole lot. I love it. Absolutely love it. This one's probably my favorite, to be honest with you. And this one, this is Mandy and I's awkward family photo. This was in the nosebleed section at a Pistons game. And when you're watching the Pistons play, you have nothing better to do than to take selfies because they don't normally win anyways. So that is us at the Pistons game a few years back. Speaking truth. So you can tell a lot about people by pictures. You can tell a lot about those people by their pictures. They're kind of different, right? But if we were to take a picture of your family, what would it look like? What would it look like? If you had to explain your family, how would you explain it? So for my family, how I would explain it, if I was to explain Mandy and I, the first thing I would say is that we're very passionate about Jesus. That's the number one thing in our family, in our life, in our marriage, is the pursuit of Jesus. Obviously, we've been married for 8.5 years. We've been together almost 16 years. November will be 16 years. That's over half my life. That's right. I would say that we're very loving, passionate people. I would say that we have probably crazy streaks that come out, and we make all kinds of weird noises around our house, and I think all of our neighbors are scared of us because they either think we're serial killers or we kidnap people, I'm not sure which, or that we have a bear living in the basement. It happens. We like to have fun, and I think that we're very forgiving people. I think that we're very much people of outreach. And so if I had to explain Mandy and I, that's how I would try to explain our family structure. But families differ. All of us around this room have a different structure of family. Some of you have both of your parents still together. Some of you have never met your parents. Some of you have divorced parents. Some of you, maybe you live with your grandparents. Maybe some of you are only childs. Maybe others of you, you have like 37 siblings and you're like, I can never find a moment of peace in my entire life. I wish I was an only child. Maybe some of you come from families that don't have a whole lot of money, and maybe some of you hear your families, they're loaded. You're like, I got money for my money. We all come from different walks of life within this room, but one thing we all share in common is that we're part of the Rage family. Here at Rage, we are family. We hear that all the time. And so what I'm wondering is, thinking back to that, what does your family look like? If somebody was to take a snapshot of Rage, what would it look like? Take a snapshot of Rage, what would it look like? And there's a lot of times I hear from you guys, Rage is a family. Rage feels like my family. I feel like it's family here, but I'm wondering what makes Rage a family. What things do you make it a family? I'm actually going to put my phone number up on here. I'm going to trust you guys with this. Please don't abuse it. And this is the only time I'm probably going to let you use your cell phones ever. So take advantage. I want you to text me while I'm talking what things make Rage feel like a family. Now, don't send super long texts where it takes like popping on the screen and it's like a novel. You're like, chapter one, Rage feels like a family because, you know, 27 scrolls later, it's like, what is going on? Maybe it's just a few words. It feels like family because I'm welcomed here. I'm accepted. It's loving. You guys can go ahead and do that. I'm just curious, what makes Rage feel like a family to you. And I'm wondering if my phone's going to jam up here. I haven't got a text yet. I got one. I can be my crazy self and they love me. We love everyone. Oh, I got actually two of those. Happy people. Happy people. What else do you guys got? Keep them coming. I feel comfortable barefoot. I feel like family. Ooh, that was a good one. Let me get back to that one. Rage is a family because love overflows through everyone. I'm sorry, guys, if I don't get to yours, like, I can't even go back to the other texts. There's so many popping right now. Non-judgmental atmosphere. I like that. Deeply rooted relationships. Acceptance no matter who it is or what they've done. Rage is amazing. Everyone feels like family. Man, I love this. Love this. Able to be vulnerable and see through, not self-conscious. Man, that's good. Accept people for who they are. We do life together, games and connection groups. Absolutely. Love it. It's beautiful chaos. I like that description. I can be crazy. I'm accepted for who I am. I can let my hair down and be happy. Let the worries go. Man. This youth group loves everyone and accepts. These things are all a snapshot of rage. They're all a snapshot of it. Decline. Somebody's calling me on my iPad. Awkward. These are all things that make up rage. These are all things you have experienced, and it becomes very real to you because you've lived it out. So when you explain rage to other people, these are part of the dynamic. This is part of the DNA. And I'll be honest, not many youth groups are like you guys. Not many youth groups go to the level that you all go to because you make the group. You make up rage. Yes, rage is all of you together collectively, but it's a collection of individuals. If you, as an individual, weren't here, rage would feel different, and it does. It does. So there's times when maybe you don't come and you feel like, oh, I'm not noticed. You are. We notice when you're not here. You're missed. You're cared for. Because together, we are rage. But individually, you are rage. And so the will you question I want to ask tonight is, will you keep rage a family? These things that you were texting in, these things that you're like, man, it felt like this. I felt loved and accepted. It's a place that's non-judgmental. I can be open. I can be honest. I can be crazy. I can be barefoot. All of these things, it's up to you as an individual to keep going. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word tonight. And Lord, we ask that over the next few minutes, as we hear what it is you want to say to us out of Scripture, that you'll just speak straight to our heart, go past the mind and intellect, and allow us to hear your voice clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing that I've realized over the years is when something's made personal, people go, well, I think somebody else will do it. I do. You ever been there? Hey, go take out the trash. You take out the trash. I think someone else will do it. But what happens? Nobody else does it. Why is that? Because everybody assumes somebody else will do it. And the somebody else will do it mindset will kill a family. It will kill a church. It will kill a team. It will kill friendships. It destroys everything. Because it's an assumption that somebody else will pick up your slack. And so tonight, I just want to break down a little bit of that mindset. Get it gone. Somebody else will do it. We are rage. You are rage. And so if we want to keep this place a family, there's three key things that we should be doing to help keeping those things that you guys all texted in and you loved, to keep those as the very heartbeat and DNA of this group. The first thing, the first key is to unify. We need to be unified in this place together. Now, I'm not saying we have to agree on everything in life. Not all of you are going to come in next week in Broncos jerseys because I like the Broncos. It's not going to happen. But we can all agree that they're the best team. So, just saying. No, I'm just joking with y'all. Unifying is not about that. We may have disagreements in other parts, but we're unifying forward in our pursuits of Christ. We have to be unified. We have to like being with each other. Okay, there's times where you don't like being with your family, but you still love them and you get over those feelings. That's unifying your family because you learn to put your differences aside and love each other anyways. Luke 11, verse 17 says, "Any kingdom that's divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall." If we let divisions come in, this youth group will not stay healthy. It'll fall apart. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there's no divisions among you, but you're perfectly united in mind and thought." Uniting our minds and thoughts, Jesus is the number one thing here. Putting aside petty differences, because we are from all different walks of life. Some of you are homeschooled. Some of you go to public school. Should it matter? Shouldn't. Some of you came from churched backgrounds, some of you didn't. Does that matter? No. Some of you come from divided homes, some of you don't. Does it matter? No. Because we are all under the blood of Jesus. That's what unifies us. That's what brings us into this sense of family. And under that blood of Jesus, we're called first to love God, and out of that love for God, to love people. But I want to ask you, how are we going to love other people if we can't even love ourselves here? If we can't get along with each other, how are we ever going to reach the lost? The thing that we're commanded to do for Jesus. Because we're going to bring them into a place that's divided. And they're going to say, if this is what being a Christian's about, I don't want any of it. That's why it's so important to let social cliques fall. For social divisions to fall. And just to come into this place and love each other and be a family. We need to unify. We need to unify. It means loving each other, dropping critical spirits. Small differences, they don't matter. What matters is that Jesus is King over us all. Second key, if we want to keep our age of family, is that we need to reach out. Means we need to love other people, because if we're not reaching out, if we're not sharing the love of Jesus with others, then one, we're being disobedient to him, because of Matthew 28:19-20, it says, "Go and make disciples." It's not saying invite people in, it's saying make disciples. It means do life with them. Let them go through this journey with you of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All nations. Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Ephesians 1:5-6, New Living Translation. "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ." So Jesus is the one that we come to relationship with God in. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He wanted us to be adopted into his family, and he gets pleasure out of that. You see in this? Romans 10:9-13. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him," anyone, "will never be put to shame. For there is no difference, no division between Jew and Gentile. Same Lord is the Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Do you see this theme through these scriptures? All nations, all people, into the presence of God. God loved all people and adopted them into his family. He finds pleasure in it. All people can confess the name of Jesus and believe in their hearts, and it says that they'll be saved. Who are we to decide who should have relationship with Jesus? or who we should invite to rage or not. Because, oh, it made me uncomfortable because maybe we come from a different walk of life, or, you know, the really bad one, maybe somebody will disagree with me. Maybe somebody will make fun of me. Who are we to decide? Because Scripture tells us otherwise. Our job is to simply love God and to love people. Love God and love people. And real love is being concerned with others. Do you even care about the lost people around you? Does your heart break for what breaks God's? There's a test coming up on this for you guys. I believe the Lord drops opportunities in our hearts, district youth. $50 for you to go. And you're like, well, how does that work? What I haven't told you yet is your unsaved friends can go for free. The district pays for it. So if you're saying, you know what, yeah, I do need to outreach, I need to love other people, then scrape up the $50, pay for your registration, and start inviting your unsaved friends. Because it's going to be a great opportunity for them to encounter the love of Jesus. To have opportunity to experience the joy of sins forgiven that those of us who follow Jesus have experienced. To enter into life-changing relationship. Will you? Will you? Third thing, third key we need to have to keep Rage a family. We need to unify. We need to reach out. But we need to keep the DNA healthy. DNA is the genetic backbone of any organism. Basically, it's the roadmap and building blocks that tells how it's growing and how things are supposed to be structured. If you alter the DNA, you alter the entire organism or the entire being. So the things that you've said about Rage, that's the DNA of it. That's the backbone. Will you keep that healthy? And the way you keep it healthy goes back to my beginning statement when I said, oh, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. Well, yes, we are Rage, but you are Rage. What if, as the worship team continues to play, nobody ever steps up, and eventually those that are playing graduate and end up going off to colleges, and other people say, ah, somebody else will do it. Suddenly we don't have worship. What if you're here and you say, oh, somebody else will do this. Somebody else will run greet time and make it feel welcoming when they come in. Somebody else will do that because there's a lot of us here. It's no longer a welcoming place. What if people stop inviting others? They stop having that outreach and that concern for the lost. All of a sudden, we don't grow. All of a sudden, we stay just the same. We form a social club, which is the opposite of what Jesus came to do. He came to advance the kingdom. What if nobody went to district youth and built relationships? Or just further build up the walls of disunifying behaviors because nobody's reaching out. Nobody's working on unifying. What if nobody signed up for cadre? What if nobody stepped into leadership positions? This youth group would be no more. Because it's not Mandy and I. You are Rage. You are Rage. You are Rage. Let's go ahead and hit that video.
go, Groot.
I can't. You'll die.
Why are you doing this?
Why?
We are Groot.
Guardians of the Galaxy, if some of you haven't seen that, the tree dude in there, his name's Groot, and through the whole movie, that's all he says, I am Groot. It's all he says. And at the end, when they're in all this trouble, he sacrifices himself for the benefit of the group. And you heard it, we are Groot. It's the only time he says anything different. And tonight, just think about that. We are rage. But what happens when there's a need and we have the ability to reach out, and we hold it back? What happens when we have the opportunity to step up and keep rage a family, to keep the things that make rage what it is, healthy, but we don't do it? All of us suffer, because we are one body. We are many parts, and all of us have a function. All of us are here and part of this family for a reason. So I want to encourage you tonight, you are rage. You are rage. Will you keep rage a family? Because it's not all up to Mandy and I. It's not all up to our leaders. It's not all up to Cadre. Each of us play a part. You are rage.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.